Acts chapter 10 is the chapter that gives this wonderful story of Cornelius and how that God visited Cornelius's house. Amen. With wonderful blessings, wonderful spiritual blessings, God visited his house. But I want to read just two verses in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.'" Every nation, every tribe, every ethnic group, every one of those in our world of almost 7 billion people that populate this planet, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Amen. That means the little beggar that is along the roadside in some little village in India, doesn't matter the person, the circumstance, where they were at, where they were born, God is no respecter of persons. One of the things that we do in the United States sometimes is, because this is the world we live in, we think this is the world that everybody lives in. Because many of us have grown up with a wonderful past, a wonderful Christian experience. Some of us raised up in Christian homes, Christian families, and have been blessed in our lives to know about God. And most people that are my age, that live in the United States of America, have had some exposure, at least to a small degree, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's pretty much everywhere. It's on the radio, it's on TV, there's all kinds of books. You can walk through the airport and there are book stands with Christian books. And in Walmart, or just about anywhere you go, there is the availability and the access to the gospel that you and I enjoy. And so we think of it that way because it's the world that we live in. Let me tell you about the world that I grew up in. I grew up in a little community on the west side of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in the little area, the little community there was like a subdivision. The school that I went to was within sight of my house. I could walk out the front steps and I could see the school. And I could look at this direction and I could see the church that we went to, the Pentecostal church that we went to. And so, my family all lived in that community, or most of my family lived in that community. Even my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, most of them all lived in that general community. And that's the world that I grew up in. So that was my worldview. That's a missions term that a lot of people use when they're talking about the world that we live in, the world that we understand, the world that we're familiar with. That's our worldview. And what we see and what we know in the world that we live in is not at all like the world that many people around this world live in. Not at all. And so as Christians, what God wants us to be reminded here tonight from his word is that God is no respecter of persons. You're not more valuable than family that lives in the slums of Haiti. You are not more valuable than those who live in other third world countries around this world. You're not more valuable than the 8 million people, 8+ million people that live in northern Yemen, where almost everybody there is a Muslim. They estimate that in northern Yemen, there are only 20 to 30 people who are Christians. 20 to 30 people. And that's as big as the population of the state of Kentucky. That there would be 8 million people. And 20 to 30 people who know the Lord. That's the world that children are growing up in Yemen. That's the world they're growing up in. And many of these countries that are Muslim countries, they're filled with hate and hopelessness and darkness. You can see the darkness in their eyes because of the hopelessness of that Islam doctrine. But God is no respecter of persons. God loves them just as much as he loves you and me. And we have been blessed to grow up in a nation where the gospel has been easily accessible. And most of us have been exposed to it again and again and again and again and again. But that's not the world view of the largest part of the population of this world. So one of the things I believe that we need to be reminded of here tonight is that we live in a small world compared to the big world. But God, who sees all, knows all, and sent his Son into this world to die for all mankind. All mankind. No matter where they live, no matter how much that they're steeped in the darkness and the depravity of their lifestyle and the world that they live in, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And he went to the cross for all of those millions and billions of Muslims. And he went to the cross for all of those who populate the various nations of the world. What I believe that the Lord wants us to do is to understand that he's no respecter of persons, but that in every nation that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation that hears the gospel. And that's the most critical thing in anyone's life, is having the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Nothing. That's the greatest experience of your life that changes your life, and it changes everything for eternity's sake because you have met Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And we have been so blessed, and much has been given to us, much is required of us, and the world is our mission field. The world is our field. And I pray that tonight God would stir our hearts and increase our worldview. I told you I grew up in this little small community. But thankfully, it was a pastor who changed my worldview. And I've told this so many times that I know you're weary with it, but when I was 14 years old, maybe 15 years old, our pastor took us to the Navajo Indian Reservation out in New Mexico. And we were there for about a week. And the only place I'd ever went on a vacation outside of the state of Oklahoma was to Colorado, which is a neighboring state to Oklahoma. And we went to Colorado for just a few days. And all we did was we saw the Royal Gorge and Pikes Peak and all these various things in Colorado Springs and Denver. That's what we saw. We were there a few days. But it was exciting to a kid to go to a place like that. But that's the only other place that I'd ever been. And when I went to this Navajo Indian Reservation, and I saw people as we were pulling down the highway, headed into this area, this reservation area, I saw that the roads on both sides of the road were lined full of liquor bottles. I couldn't have realized the significance of that. Now I know that 70% of those who live on American Indian reservations or Native American reservations now, 70% of them are alcoholics. And a large percentage of Native American young people attempt suicide before they get before they become an adult. A large percentage of them. There's a hopelessness there. It's a world that I didn't know about. We went out on visitation to invite people to a daily vacation Bible school. We were conducting in the daytime. The youth were doing that, and then we were having revival services at night and inviting people from these places. I remember going to what I would call huts. just little makeshift, little lean-to buildings with a dirt floor. And I really remember the significance of it because it was a dirt floor, and right in the middle of the room was a color television. And I remember thinking, wow, they don't even have a floor, but they have to have their color TV. And out there in the middle of the Indian reservation, but the people came, and I met people that I never knew existed. I saw needs like I had never witnessed before. And for me, it was one of those major events in your life that opens your eyes. And you see, my worldview would just went, it just expanded so much out of my little community that I grew up in, that I saw the world in a much different light. And over the years and opportunities I've had to be in different places around the world, my worldview just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as I see the needs of the world. And I understand that God is no respecter of persons, but it's His will that every one of them hear the gospel and know Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, seeing the need motivates you and changes you. The Bible says in Matthew 9 and 36 that when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Something about seeing the need touches your heart. It changes your heart. Jesus saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so when we see the world, and one of the reasons for a missionary meeting like we have every year is since we can't just pack everybody up and take them to different mission fields around the world, but as these missionaries come and visit us, they bring the field to us. And they let us hear just a little part of what they're involved in and the ministry that they're doing in different places around the world. And they preach about it and they stir our hearts about it. And our worldview as a church, hopefully it gets bigger. It gets bigger. Because if you're not careful, there's nothing more discouraging and depressing than for you just to live in your little isolated little world that you live in, and never realize the big world that God has created. And it is His will, His sovereign will, that they all have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those 80 million Muslims that live in northern Yemen, where there's only 20 to 30 Christians, that means that the majority of those people, they don't have access to the gospel. They can't turn on the radio and hear it. They can't go to a store and pick up a book or a Bible about it. They won't meet a preacher. And with only 20 or 30 Christians out of 8 million, there's a very big possibility that the majority of them will never even meet a Christian. So they don't have access. But it's the will of God that they not perish. It's the will of God that they do have access to the gospel. So I've had for many years a firm conviction that one of the responsibilities that I have as a pastor is to open eyes, to fan the flames of global missions, to help people to see it, and to give opportunities to see it, and for our little children to see it and to meet missionaries and to realize that they're walking among people who are to be honored. Amen. Amen. And that they rub shoulders with these great men and women of God who are doing a work for the Lord in many different places. And so I have accepted that call and that responsibility, and the Lord has made it possible through the generosity of our church and the partnership of Good News Outreach for many years for us to be able to invite many missionaries to come, to bless them, to encourage them, and for our church to be affected by it. Amen. And that's our prayer. That's my prayer. Lord, change us. Change us. Even to the point of maybe some of our sons and daughters or grandchildren that the Lord might just handpick them and begin to put his hand upon their life, that they would step out and they would say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something that's going to count. I want to reach the masses of people. And we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever and however you call, then we're willing for you to do just that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's three different calls I'll mention here tonight. First of all, there's the call that we have from above, the call from heaven. I mentioned the service or two back that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So whenever we pray, we can pray knowing that not only can we pray in the Spirit and pray with power, but we also can pray in agreement with Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. He's praying. And I believe that all of heaven is calling and reaffirming the call from above that we are to go. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We were talking in the Sunday school this morning about that quality that the church must have to be effective. And really, the whole message of the book of Acts makes it very clear that we cannot get the work of God done except by the power of the Spirit. Amen. It is not the book of Acts. It is the Acts of the Holy Ghost through those first century disciples. It's the working and the moving of the Spirit of God that empowered them to do the things that they were otherwise not able to do. And so we have been called from above. Amen. We have been called from above to go into all of the world. Amen. That's a big calling, isn't it? It is a big calling, and to as much as we can as a group and as a congregation, we have a responsibility to the souls of men all over this world. Amen. Amen. And then there's a call from beneath, Luke chapter 16 and verse 27. Remember the story of the rich man that is in hell, and Lazarus, he's saying, Lazarus, send Lazarus to me, that he could just dip his finger and bring a few drops of water, for I'm tormented in this flame. But the Bible says Lazarus wasn't able to go. There was a great gulf there. He wasn't able to go and to minister to him. But it says here that the rich man then begins to cry out. He begins to pray. And he says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Not only do we have heaven's call, the Great Commission, but we also have the call from beneath, all of those that have died and have gone into that terrible place of torment, who would gladly send a missionary to their family, who would gladly, if they could, send someone to their family, to their loved ones, to warn them, to let them know that if they would just believe upon Jesus, they could be saved from that horrible, horrible judgment. Amen. And then there is the call from without. You remember from Acts 16 and verse 9 that the Apostle Paul had a vision. He was getting ready to continue in his ministry, but he has a vision of a man in Macedonia. And the man from Macedonia is standing there and he says, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And those are people that are outside of your reach, but God is they are calling us. They are calling us to come to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you have read this. I encourage you, if you have access to the internet, just get on the internet and read the different accounts of Muslims who are having dreams about Jesus. It's incredible. There's books that have been written documenting these dreams that Muslims are having all over the world, and they're having dreams about Jesus, visions about Jesus, about the gospel, about somebody coming to them and telling them about the gospel. Now, that's not the way that God has chosen to evangelize the world, through dreams and visions necessarily. He's called you and me as the church to do that. But I think it's a wonderful thing that God is preparing and stirring the hearts of Muslims out of their darkness and waking them up to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and that he is real. Praise God. And just like that man from Macedonia, that Paul saw him in that dream, come and help us, come and help us. No doubt there are others all around the world in their desperation. They don't know what they're longing for. They just know that they're longing for truth. They're longing for something. And so they fill up their life with all of their religious experiences and all of their false gods and their paganism. They fill their life up with all of those things. It's all a part of their search for meaning that can only be satisfied in the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that God wants to set up divine encounters, just like we can read about there in Acts chapter 10. God was working in Cornelius' house, and he was also working in Peter's life to bring them together. He was working in Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, and stirring his heart for the things of God. The Bible says he was a devout man, that he gave much alms. He prayed often. There was a searching man, a devout man who was in a search for God and for the things of God. Peter is a man of God, and God's working on the other end too. He's working on the one that's longing and desiring help, and he's working on the one that he's going to send to him. I believe that God can set up those kind of divine encounters. Because when Peter finally had the vision and finally was willing to accept the call to go to Cornelius' house, Cornelius' family was waiting to hear the truth. And I believe that God, by his Spirit, sets up those divine encounters, and that there are people all around the world that are waiting. They're waiting on the truth. They don't even know what they're waiting for. Some of them have never heard about Jesus, don't know about Jesus. I read about a missionary who went to India, and he sees a woman standing weeping beside the Ganges River. And so he goes to her and just feels compelled to go and to try to see if he can comfort her and help her. And so he goes to her and he begins to talk to her about Jesus. And she said, I've never heard about him before. I've never heard this ever before. And she begins to cry and weep even more. And he doesn't understand why that she's crying so uncontrollably. And she said, if you had only been here just a little while earlier, I wouldn't have thrown my firstborn son into this river, at trying to appease a God of hate, a God of vengeance, trying to find peace and having been told that this was the only way. And she throws her firstborn son, into the river. And it was just a little while before the missionary came along, just a little bit too late to save the life of that little baby. I just believe that God wants to give us some divine encounters to deal with us here about what is going on in different places around the world to help us to see the great need. I mentioned going online and reading about these Muslim dreams and Muslim experiences concerning Jesus Christ. Also, we encourage you to go to a website called Operation World. Operation World. Operation World is a website that gives details, statistics about every nation of the world, and then spiritual information about Christians and the church there. And when the web page comes up, the first page, it is the country you're to pray for on that particular day, and it gives the information and what you should pray for when you go to that website. I'm just saying that there's some things that God wants to do to set up some divine encounters. Why? Because He's no respecter of persons. Because He wants the world to be saved. And He laid down His life that they could be saved. And you and I, we have this God-given responsibility. You feel powerless? Oftentimes I feel powerless whenever I learn more about the needs of the world. I feel like, how can I do anything? It's just a drop in the bucket of the vast needs of the world. Someone said, when man works, man is just getting done what he can get done. But when man prays, he gets done what God can do. When he prays, he accomplishes not what man can do, but what God can do. So when you pray for Nepal, and when you pray for Yemen, and you pray for these other Muslim nations and third world countries around the world, and you read about them and you learn about them, this is one way that just staying in your own home, in your own community, your world vision can get bigger. Your world view can get bigger. And you can see the vastness of the needs of people around this world. Oh God. Oh God. That we could have some divine encounters and not have they come to the conclusion that it's everybody else but us. Not me. I can't be involved. I might could throw in a few dollars in a missions offering, but I can't really do anything about it. Do what you can do. Learn what you can learn about the needs of the world. And then every day, if you have the opportunity, the access, just open up that page and read about the nation of the world for that day. And spend a few minutes praying for the people and the situations that are in that nation. And you won't be getting done what you can do, but prayer will get done what God can do. And when you pray, Lord, open the doors and give missionaries opportunity. And provide for them financially. And provide for them physically. And pray that God would protect them and would give them divine arranged encounters with those that are already hungering and searching and longing for the things of God. Amen. That's the call of God. I pray that this week that our worldview will be bigger than it's ever been. Amen. Would you open your eyes to the needs of the world? I know that we can't all go to the mission field. We can't all pick up and leave responsibility behind and go to the mission field, but we can do our part. Amen. We can do our part. We can give. We can pray. We can sacrifice. And one of the things you can do this week is encourage and bless the missionaries. Amen. I talk to missionaries a lot. And I have to tell you, missionaries stand up here in the pulpit and they're usually really encouraging whenever they speak. But missionaries go through great times of discouragement. They spend much of their time trying to raise enough funds to get back where they need to be. They spend much of their time on the road, physically weary from the task, only get to a church when they see the missionary walk in, they'll say, oh no, we've got a missionary tonight. Oh no, and how would you like that? Everywhere you went, that people had that kind of an attitude. Oh, this is a mission service. Oh no, we dread. How would you like to go and wear yourself physically out trying to present your ministry and your message only to get to a church and to feel rejected? Like you're not valuable or important. Oh God, that would never happen here at this location. But instead, when they walk in the doors, that we love them and we minister to them and we pour out to them and we ask them, is there anything you need? Can I help you in any way? Can I do anything to make this week better for you? Amen. And be willing to do that. Be willing to step up and to bless them and encourage them and let them know that they are loved at this location and they are honored at this church. Amen. We love them. We honor them. And we want to encourage them in the work that they are doing. Some that are coming work in countries where there's great pressures, under great threat even in their lives. Many missionaries are facing a great deal of pressure and even to the point of persecution. And so they come to the United States and they see a lot of people that's, you know, we're living our life and we're having, you know, everything's going well and we're living in ease and comfort. And they come here after sacrificing and giving of themselves. And when they get here, Lord, help us to bless them. Amen. Lord, help us to bless them and to be used of the Lord to participate in the call that they are involved in, asking the Lord to anoint them in a wonderful way to do the work that they have to do. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. In every nation of the world, people deserve access to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Brother and sister Mansory Bakri will be here. Monday, they fly back. They have got cleared through the State Department to go back to Sierra Leone. Ebola is pretty much contained. So they're going to be here this week. And then Monday, they fly back to Sierra Leone. And if the Lord works everything out, then this coming January, myself and a couple other brothers are going to be heading over there. Pray for me. I need to get ready for this. I need to get physically prepared for this. The radio station in Sierra Leone is on the fourth level of the building, and there's no elevator. It's going to be steps, back down, steps, back down, steps. So pray that I can just get physically fit and ready for it so I can just run up and down them steps in January. But pray about the great possibility of a Christian radio station opening up in Sierra Leone, West Africa, where the gospel is going to reach somewhere close to 3 million people in that city. Amen. No other, all the other religious stations there are Muslim stations, and Brother Bakri is so ready. He's so ready to get back over there and get prepared and get that thing working and on the air so that we can send the light into that dark, dark place. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons all over the continents, the various continents, all over the nations of Africa. Stephen Cartwright will be here Friday morning. He'll be here all week, but speaking Friday morning. And he's continued with the School of Christ ministry that Brother Clendenin was doing so many years. He spends 1 month in the States, 2 months in Africa, back here for 1 month. And every year, that's what he's doing. And he's conducting these schools and training preachers to preach the gospel all over these various African nations. Amen. You'll be challenged and blessed. Well, I'm going to stop with all this. Let's stand together. God's no respecter of persons. That's why this week he wants to broaden, expand your worldview. Amen. Let's pray that he does that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.